Awake my soul to joyful lays. Number 24. Oh, oh. Before Jehovah's awful throne. Kind of maybe the opposite spectrum of the song we just sang, but this song is under the reverence for God. 114, we will omit the bird's eyes in the middle of the stanzas and observe only the ones at the end.
What?
couple of songs on gratitude. 683. My God, I thank thee who has made. 683. Let's do sisters only in verse 2, and then everyone in the remaining verses. 683.
Oh, my God.
One page over, 686. Savior, thy dying love thou gavest me. 686.
Oh.
Thank you.
Zion's Praises, number 710. 710.
Eight hundred five.
Thank you.
785. Number 785.652. Number 652.
Thank you. good evening, and I greet you in Jesus' name. I'm not going to talk about Thanksgiving, and I'm not going to talk about singing. A week or so ago, I got finished with the book of the Bible that I was reading, and I was trying to figure out what I should read, what I should study next, and I decided to study Revelation. And I know we just went through that in our Sunday school, but we kind of pick out verses, and I wanted to read Revelation and see what it said. Anyway, I got to chapter 2 and 3, and I got stuck there for a while. So I'd like to actually look at Revelation 2 and Revelation 3 for a little bit. There was a couple. So we have the angel to the churches, these seven churches. We have an angel come write some of these churches, and I want to only, there's only three of them that I'm going to actually touch on, and it's ones that really stood out to me as, or really challenged me. I would like to read a couple of verses in the letters to these churches. In Revelation 2:2-6, and he's talking, the angel's writing on the church of Ephesus. Verse 2, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove the candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And I looked at that, and I'm like, how close that is to us sometimes. They couldn't stand evil, this church. They called out the false teachers. And they did things for the Lord. They didn't accept this doctrine of the Nicolaitans or the deeds of the Nicolaitans. And I, in studying that, some feel like it's maybe, well, we'll look at it again in a different church, but maybe it's eating things sacrificed unto idols and committing fornication and being part of the church. They thought they could be. Have a foot in the church and in the world. They didn't accept that doctrine. They were against evil. But their problem was they left their first love. And God pleads with them, repent, or I'll come and deal with you. Now go on to another church. Verse 13, this is to the church of Pergamos. 13, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or I will come unto thee quickly. This church was not denying God. They were even dying. There was even a martyr in this church, or part of this church. They were dying for their faith. But there were people that were causing other people to stumble. And they And these people had people in the, these people, some of them accepted the this doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And God pleads with them, repent. The other church I'd like to look at is in chapter 3. The church of Laodicea. And verse 15, chapter 3, verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. These people weren't even really doing anything wrong. He didn't really... There was no deeds that he really condemned them for. They were rich. They had lots of stuff. And they didn't seem to have a dependence on God. They were lukewarm. And God calls them to repent. Talking to one of my friends the other day, I asked him, how do we know if we're lukewarm? It's such... I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's hard to point something and say this is or isn't. But these three churches stood out to me. They were doing things right. They were probably, I don't know, they were following the standards of the church maybe, and they were... They did all the right things, it seems. Like most times they were doing the right things, but they were forgetting to love the Lord or worship Him in the right way. And it came down to their heart. Their heart was not totally in their worship. They were doing the things right, but they weren't, that something wasn't right in their heart. And it just challenged me, what would the angel say to me if he came to me? What am I? What are we? What would the angel that came to the church at Cornerstone, or that would write a letter to the church at Cornerstone, say about us? This was a challenge for me. I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. It just... What stood out to me the most was that they were churches. And they were doing things right, and they probably looked right on the outside, and yet all these little things. So anyway, that was my challenge for tonight, and I hope that it challenges you also. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time of worship and singing. And I pray that you would help us to be on fire for you and to love you and worship you in spirit and truth. I pray for those who could not be here. Give them a special blessing. And I pray most of all that we would be faithful to you and that we would continue following you and follow your will for our lives. Be with the rest of the service and bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll continue singing. You may turn to 657 in the hymns of the church.
Number 657. Number 71. Number 71.
Thank you.
that a new song to most of you? Yeah, it's one of my favorite songs, but we don't sing it that much, but it's a very pretty song. Let's go to number 710. Number 710. Number 978. 978. Jerusalem the Golden. How many of you know this song? A few. Why don't we stand for this song?
They stand those high. Hymns of the Church, number 593. Sweetly, Lord, have we heard thee. 593.
Thank you.
Number 804. Like a river glorious.
No.
Nine hundred eight, Faith of Our Fathers.
Oh,
976. I love to think of my home above.
Well, thank you to each one for coming out tonight, being here, singing the many songs that we sang covered a variety of life, of topics and views of life. And the song we just sang, Home Sweet Home, is, I believe, each one of our ultimate goal. And yet, we looked at Brother Clint looked at the seriousness of life and how just being good isn't what God wants. He wants our heart. And it was interesting that's what he touched on devotions, because I had already noted when we sang number 805, Lord, light the great fires of your love in my soul. We need that. We need God's love just lit up in our soul, on fire. And that chorus, I love you, Lord Jesus. My body is yours for anything. And may we seriously consider that. What does that mean? What does that mean for my life? What does God want me to maybe change or seriously consider about where I'm at in life? I was keenly made aware that with getting over a cold, how much I enjoy singing when my voice is fully up to speed. And tonight I felt a little more like I was trying to get through a marathon of singing that much. But it was a blessing to be here, blessing to hear you sing. And I was reminded of a verse I just read in my personal devotions, where and now I can't. We poured ourselves out singing tonight. It, in 1 Chronicles 13, verse 8, it says, "And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, with singing, and with harps and psalteries, and with timbrels and cymbals, and with trumpets." And it was the time where they were in the process of moving the ark. And it was an exciting time. But I believe it's good for us to gather together and sing and worship in a concentrated worship singing service like this. So I think at this time we'll stand for the benediction.